What's up, America?
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Another episode, good people. Thank you for joining us. It is February 29th. Happy Leap Year Day. Now, this is another episode of Talk of Sports with the 12th Man. Don't adjust your dials. I'm pitching for my man Dre. He's a out there making sure that people know who the last prime minister of Guatemala was. So I'm going to run this short here tonight and keep it moving. I'm going to introduce my fellas here first. Rob, how's it going down there? You in the Big Easy?
Oh, yeah, man. 73 degrees today. Couldn't be better, man. I tell you what. Enjoying life. See?
That's why you keep battling pneumonia in 73 and then going down to 55 and 12 and back to 80.
Hey, man, I'm healthy. I feel like I'm 18 years old.
That's like a carried away. And last but not least, as always, my homeboy Drake. What's going on, bro?
JQ, I am feeling fantastic, bro. I'm just sitting back, gonna just relax, man. Let you do all the hard work, all the heavy lifting, man. How about that?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Everybody deserves a day off. You know, we ain't gonna catch a loss like the Cavs did when LeBron took a day off. We're gonna keep this thing moving.
Oh,
Andre was asking questions like, "What year was the country of Chile founded?"
I don't know why you're making fun of it, man. I'm just, I'm trying to do my job, man. You know what I'm saying? You do your job, Rob. Hey, I do my job. How about that?
Hey, I actually love trivia, to be honest with you. I have to have a conversation with you off the air about that, but I actually love trivia, so it's all in fun.
Yes, sir. We ain't knocking your hustle, Jigga. We ain't going to knock your hustle. Before we get rolling, though, let's give out some numbers and let people know how they can get in contact with us. If you want to dial in today on any of the episodes, the number is 424-243-9519. And as always, you can find us on Facebook. If you search Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you'll find us and see us posting about various things throughout the day. And you can find us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Rob is on there frequently dropping a whole lot of nuggets on us when he get off the Pelicans and the Saints, but we're going to leave that for another day. Finally, we may be getting near the
season. Yeah, I tweet about everything.
I know. I'll just give you a hard time. You know how I am. I can't help it. We're getting towards that magical day of March 9th for Peyton Manning to put up a shutout, so to speak, at least with the Broncos. And reports comes out that he is, surprise, leaning towards retiring. So I'm going to come to you first here, Rob, and I kind of want to piece these two together. What are your thoughts on him retiring? And if he does retire, or if they cut him, what do you think they're going to spend most of that $19 million, I believe it is, that they would owe him on March 9th?
Well, obviously, I think it's just a matter of time before he officially announces his retirement. And so I think it's just a matter of time. And I think the Broncos have already moved on. Even if he miraculously say that he wants to still play, he will not be with the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are already moving on. I mean, they have some serious business to take care of. You still have Von Miller, who's not signed, Malik Jackson, who had a phenomenal year at the defensive end position and at 3-4 defense for Denver, and actually played extremely well in the Super Bowl as well. So that's another guy you got to give a fat contract to. Maybe not as much as you're going to pay Von Miller for sure. And then you still have the quarterback position you have to fix if you're the Denver Broncos. And all indications are they want to keep Brock Osweiler and grow with him. You only have one franchise, and none of those three guys are signed. So, obviously, your first order of business, of course, is Von Miller. If he doesn't have a contract by tomorrow, the obvious thing would he would be franchised on tomorrow. And you hope, if you're a Denver Bronco fan, that they can somehow keep Malik Jackson and Brock Osweiler. I can promise you this, if Brock Osweiler, his free agency by March 9th next week, the Houston Texans will be wherever he is as soon as that 12:01 midnight hits. They're very interested in Brock Osweiler, and you'll see a few other teams they'll be very interested as well. But I can promise you that the Houston Texans are very interested, and they will be willing to snatch him away from the Denver Broncos. So that's a portion of where that $19 million is going to be spent. A good bit of that, of course, is going to be Von Miller. Next order of business, of course, Malik Jackson. Even though the quarterback position is typically the most important, I still think Von Miller, of course, and Malik Jackson is a higher priority than Brock Osweiler, in my opinion.
Oh.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Go ahead, Dre. Give me your thoughts on that.
So you're trying to tell me, Rob, that you're going to go with the unknown versus of Brock Osweiler? Is that what you're trying to tell me right about now? Is that what you
think? The unknown?
Well, I'm saying an unknown. If you don't go with Brock, I'm saying like Brock doesn't resign because you're talking about yeah, no defense wins championships for sure. But you know, if Brock Osweiler supposedly gets, you know, obviously pulled away by a Texans or something like that, who's your quarterback if you are the Denver Broncos?
Well, that's a good point. Basically what I'm saying here is that Von Miller and Malik Jackson, if you was to put grades on those players, and most general managers are going to feel the same way. And Von Miller, of course, is a franchise-type player. I mean, he's your number one guy you have to take care of. He's the guy that's going to get the franchise tag out of those three players. And Malik Jackson, at this stage in their careers, has a higher grade than Brock Osweiler. So those two guys are higher-graded players that Denver has to keep in the fold. It's not that they don't want Brock Osweiler, because they do. It's just that if you had to rank those three guys accordingly, you would say Von Miller 1, Malik Jackson 2, Brock Osweiler 3.
Yeah, and my two cents on it is, I don't know all the particulars about it, but you also have the transition tag available, and it's not as hefty as the franchise tag, and you can maybe somebody can pry them away, but I think you may have both of those in play with Malik and Miller. But I also think for Brock Osweiler is that he's comfortable in that system. I don't think he really wants to go anywhere. And like you said, he's got a Super Bowl defense there. And, I mean, I know you need J.J. Watt, but you don't know what you got with Clowney yet in Houston. And I mean, they may throw some serious dollars at him, but he seems like he's got his head on his shoulders pretty good. And, you know, I'm the main one that gets disgusted with people chasing the almighty dollar and leaving a winning situation. You know, you talk about a team that is ready-made to contend with you at the helm. And now they contend, probably be, you know, still the favorite, more than likely, or one of the couple of favorites out of the AFC to make it back to the Super Bowl. So I think that's also where Denver is. I think they've had conversations with him, and I think they know that he really wants to stay there. But I totally agree with you in terms of where the money is going to go. It's got to go to those two defensive players. I mean, they showed up and showed out all year and in the Super Bowl, so they're going to get paid. Moving on a little bit here, I just want to jump one thing ahead and then kind of combine the mock with the combine because they're going to kind of go hand in hand. The Seahawks, which would be a no-brainer, working out a contract extension for Pete Carroll. What are your thoughts on that, Dre? I mean, I can't see why they wouldn't do it. I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls, 1-1, and they regressed a little bit this year, but I still think they're going to be in that conversation. So I think it's a good move. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. You know, we'll definitely talk about a couple of things that too. But I mean, obviously, Pete Carroll, he's been whenever he first left USC, we were kind of thinking, you know, what's going on with that because USC was almost like a little mini pro team. But it's been a good move for the Seahawks ever since. He's learned, he's kind of put his stamp on that team, and obviously going to the Super Bowl has been nothing but great for him and his brand because obviously a lot of coaches have been part of that tree as well. And everyone's kind of copying the Seahawks, obviously, minus this current year. They're going to be copying the Broncos. But, you know, obviously, he's definitely done a good job of turning that program around. So I think it's a great thing. And, you know, keep it moving. You know, obviously, what have you done for me lately? He's keeping it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to add to that, Rob?
Well, I totally agree with both of you all. It's a no-brainer. He's been very successful. The Seahawks have been to the playoffs. I know you mentioned the two Super Bowl appearances, but they've also been to the playoffs every year except his first year with the Seahawks. So that, even though one of those years they won a division at 7-9, but still they've been to the playoffs every year except for the first one that he's been there. They've won a Super Bowl. They've lost another one. And a lot of – he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is with X's and O's. He's an extremely bright coach. He's a great motivator. And another thing he doesn't get a lot of credit for is he's also a very good talent evaluator as well. And they've been very successful. He is very involved in picking the groceries there in Seattle, both from the free agency standpoint and in the draft. He's very involved in that process, and he's very good at it as well. So it's definitely a no-brainer for Seattle.
He's upset that Tom Coughlin, you know, has not had a job because that makes him the oldest coach in the NFL right now. But that's my two cents on that.
But he's still got a lot of energy, though. I will say that.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Yeah,
I don't know if he drinks a lot of energy drinks or what he's doing up there, but he's got a lot of energy. He's a fiery guy.
Yeah, he's doubling up on the Flintstone vitamins. He's got the multivitamin thing working. He's definitely doing a good job in there in Seattle. So, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. I want to stay here with you for a second here, Rob, to pick up the mock draft where you left off last week to give us, I think, your next maybe five picks here. And, Dre, I'll throw it to you to see if you have any issues or quibbles with Rob's projections.
Yep.
All right. Well, here we go here. The next five picks, well, we left off at, and there's been some changes, of course, where lots have been going on with the combine, and we'll get into that here in a little bit here as well. So a lot of shuffling with the mock draft, and obviously there's going to be a lot of shuffling between now and the actual draft as well, but that's what makes it fun. At number 11, I have Chicago taking Noah Spence, outside linebacker, defensive end. A little disappointed in his 40 time. He ran about a 4.8. A lot of scouts was hoping that he would be somewhere in that Von Miller, Khalil Mack range when it comes to 40 time. You know, Von Miller ran a 4.53 at his combine, and Khalil Mack ran a 4.65. So Spence ran a 4.8. But also the thing that's working in Spence's favor is that he had a very good Senior Bowl, and he still has great game tape. He had about 11.5 sacks this season. So I don't see his stock dropping too much. Based on his combine, but they were hoping that he ran somewhere in that Von Miller, Khalil Mack range. But I still have him at the number 11 spot. I have the Saints at number 12 taking Laquon Treadwell, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And as you all are aware, the Saints officially released Marcus Colston today. So it's another weapon to go with Brandon Cooks. And Willie Snead and Brandon Coleman to help that Saints offense. Also, they definitely need to improve their defense as well. Philadelphia here is still a lot up in the air with Sam Bradford. I have Paxton Lynch going to the Eagles there at 13. So they're still very much in need of selling in that quarterback position. And I tell you, a guy who's rising tremendously in this draft, Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle for Louisville. Yeah. I have him going 14 to Oakland. You know, a little short at 6'1", but he's a tremendous football player, and he'll be a good catch somewhere in that part of the draft. I have the Los Angeles Rams at 15, taking A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle for Alabama. So if we want to go over 11 to 15, that's where I'm at with those picks at the moment.
Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, man. Rob, I always love the fact that you were able to create some controversy but also have some fun with this too, man. I like the picks, man. Eagles, so you're pretty much saying that you're not going to go with Sam Bradford. Is that what you're kind of telling me with this move here? Is that what you're thinking of?
It's not that. Obviously, they're still in the negotiation process with Sam Bradford, but I don't think the new personnel is 100% sold on Bradford long term. And Lynch might be a guy that you might have to sit for a year or so as well. So he may not be the quarterback that's going to come in and start day one for you in the NFL. So I see Lynch going either to – at the moment, I see him either going to the Eagles at 13 or the Rams at 15, depending on what happens with the Eagles and the quarterback situation.
Okay. No, I like it. I mean, like I said, it's been – it's a good-looking draft. I mean, we always like to – take a step back because this now we've been doing this for a couple of years, obviously, and I always like to give Rob a hard time as far as that too. Definitely, I'm kind of curious as far as you know, we went down to 15, right? You can go into I know you got to throw in a quick trade. I know we're going to talk about that a little later on too, man. But I think there are going to be some moves to JQ, so I am curious as far as how this is going to finally end up too, because I know that for some reason he's got the Saints taking Treadwell. I don't want to see no part of that. That's a whole other conversation too as well, man. But yeah.
And real quickly, I'll even go over some, you know, I don't usually predict trades in my mock draft, but I don't know if you saw the one that I posted on our site.
Oh, I just saw that. I saw that.
And I actually have the Falcons at 17 trading down with the Texans to 22. The Houston Texans is very interested in getting Ezekiel Elliott in this draft. And obviously Indianapolis is very high on Elliott at 18. And obviously they're a little concerned about Frank Gore and his age and getting that running back situation. Also, the Jets are high on Ezekiel Elliott. So Houston would like to figure out a way to jump above both of those teams. Houston definitely is interested in Ezekiel Elliott as well. They think he's a three-down back, good hands, good pass protector as well. They think he's a, you know, all-around back. And obviously JQ is a guy you're very familiar with, and you can comment on him as well. But I'm predicting the trade of Houston moving up to 17 and getting Ezekiel Elliott, and Atlanta getting Jack Conklin, offensive tackle from Michigan State, at 22 and picking up a third-rounder. Obviously, that's a bold prediction, and mock drafts are for fun, so we'll see what happens with that. But I can tell you this, the Houston Texans are definitely interested in Ezekiel Elliott, but also the Colts and the Jets are as well, so we'll see if this actually comes into fruition. And a little bit on your Bengals here. I haven't taken Leonard Floyd, defensive end, outside linebacker from Georgia. Solid pass rusher. Ran a 4.6 at the combine. Yeah. So scouts were very pleased with the way he performed in the combine as well. And even I even went to the second round here. I have Atlanta taking Joshua Perry, outside linebacker from Ohio State. Another guy you should be familiar with, JQ.
Sir.
And I have the Bengals taking Keanu Neal, safety from Florida, in the second round. And I even throw in my Saints second round pick here, have us taking Kendall Fuller, cornerback from Virginia Tech, in the second round. So to give you a little few more nuggets on the draft there.
Oh, hold on, Jake, I love
before,
it.
Before you go, I'm going to let you talk about this, JQ. I'm going to give you the whole rest of this. I'm going to ask you, because this is a two-part thing too, because I think that Ohio State is representing big time, man.
Yeah.
So,
yes, sir.
They don't have at least five guys in the first round.
So I would love for somehow for us to get either a Leonard Floyd or even a Darren Lee, honestly, out of that first somehow, you know, that draft, you know, because I think a couple of linebackers, we got to get a linebacker out of this draft. I think that's going to be our first pick and or pass rusher. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. I don't really see the offensive tackle, honestly, but that's just me. There's three players we're probably looking at, you know, the Shaq Lawson, Leonard Floyd, or a linebacker, Darren Lee, you know, because obviously I think that Jalen Smith's going to be gone, if you will. Miles Jack, we're not sure about him and his injury, too. A couple things I'll talk about him, but that's kind of where I think it's going to happen with the Falcons. But, JQ, you talk about just an impressive Ohio State is representing, man. Joey Bosa may go number one, depending on who you're here. You know, well, not number one, but he's going to go top five here. Just a great representation for Ohio State, sir.
Yeah, they really are. And Bosa, I think, with his 40 time, took himself out of that number one conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it just makes sense for Tennessee to get the bookend tackles. When you spend that much money investing in Mariota, you already got Lawan from Michigan a year ago, and then you get Tunsil, and you just protect him for the next 10 years. I think that just makes too much sense for them not to do.
Yeah.
But you're big for Jalen Smith. I don't think he's going to be there because it showed in his medical results that he may have nerve damage in that knee and that ankle, and he may not play in 2016 at all. So he still may be there. Somebody may be able to, you know, get a value pick kind of like Lattimore went, I think, in the third or fourth round to San Francisco.
Yeah.
For the Saints, I could see them taking Treadwell, but they need so much help on the defensive line, and you touched on it on rankings. They're comparing him a lot to Aaron Donald, and it also, you know, reminds me a little bit of also Geno Atkins, a little shorter but very strong, and he gets that low center of gravity and get that push up the middle like those two. So I think that makes sense for the Saints as well. But, I mean, if Treadwell's on the board at 12, I don't know what the first 11 teams are doing because if you're like the Bears, if you put Treadwell and Jeffrey together and you recreate that Marshall and Jeffrey scenario, I think that makes them real dangerous as well. I love the Atlanta trade because Atlanta has so many holes to fill that moving back for them I think makes a ton of sense to pick up a third-round pick because they need so much help And then, like you said, Darren Lee being there, or Coughlin, you know, are areas in need for them. Ezekiel Elliott would be a great fit for the Texans in that zone run scheme that they have. But like you said, the Jets want to get a three down back as well. I think it's going to make sense. They're going to have to probably jump them as well, and especially the Colts, because Frank Gore is already 43. I mean, at some point, you got to move on. And it's a good call on Floyd, because if you look at the Bengals and Marvin Lewis, he loves Georgia Bulldogs. If you go back to
he always drafted them.
He always drafts them. Odell Thurman, David Pollock, Orson Charles, we have one now. The center, I believe, is also from Georgia. I'm missing a lot. He's got a lot of Georgia Bulldogs on that roster. He loves the SEC. So I think those are all fantastic picks there, Rob. I can't really quibble with it. With what you have happening. And again, you know, things are subject to change here. And we also have the pro days coming. So I think some of the 40 towns may get a little better because, you know, you're going to have a little favorable stopwatch and a little bit more time to work on it. So appreciate it. That's pretty comprehensive there. And we also touched on some combine. Is there, I'll throw it to you, Dre, is anybody that really stuck out in a positive or a negative way this past weekend from the combine, or a group of players that you that caught your eye when you were watching it or reading the recap?
Just in the recap, you know, it's interesting because I got to say Keith Marshall, the running back from Georgia, you talk about kind of a surprise, you know, running that 4.31. You know, I don't know if anyone saw that coming. And granted, he was, I think he was, it's almost amazing that him and Todd Gurley, he was like better than Todd Gurley at the time. So, you know, that's interesting to see him. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, kind of how he does in the league, because right now, that speed is kind of eye-opening. I know he had a couple of injuries, and that kind of put him back. So I was actually impressed with that, you know, kind of from that vantage point. Now, it's kind of weird. There's a guy that the Falcons will be targeting is Will Fuller, running that 4.32, another burner. I hear that he's got a case of the dropsies, though, so I'm not 100% sure about that. But I think he's intriguing. Braxton Miller, sir. You talk about another guy that was on our list, too. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how him – He performs too, because like I said, I know he doesn't have, he's not polished per se, but I know he's kind of one of those guys that he's just an athlete, so I'm kind of curious about that. And lastly, guys, I know we're talking about quarterbacks that kind of do the thing. Paxton Lynch, Jared Goff, I know he got sick, and we made fun of it too as far as the hand size, but I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, which has been a good chip because everyone's kind of talking about him, and everyone says he's kind of the most pro-ready thing. So I know, Robert, you got him going number two. The Browns may fall in love with Wentz Wentz because of the fact he looks the part. If that's the case, I think Goff is going to make a run, man. So those are my guys that I kind of think were kind of impressive in the combine.
Yeah, I can tell you the Cleveland Browns organization, they're about 50-50 on those guys, Goff and Wentz. In my last mock draft, I have Wentz at two. I've moved Goff back into that slot at two. I think Hugh Jackson obviously is going to have the ultimate decision here. And I think he, even with the 9-inch hands, he feels like Goff is a guy. Cleveland's going to need a quarterback to start day one next year. And Wentz may not be that guy. And I think he feels like Goff is the one that's more pro-ready. He's been reading defenses in college. He's run a pro-style offense. So I have Goff back in that number two spot to the Browns. I know the organization is pretty split in-house, but right now I have Goff back in the number two spot to the Cleveland Browns, so that would be interesting. And here's a question for JQ while we're still on draft coverage here. Joey Bosa, he's a guy here that I have still at the number three spot to the San Diego Chargers. Combine numbers, of course. Not as impressive. You know, Pro Day is going to be very important for Joey Bosa. And obviously the NFL scouts, they don't put all of their stock into the combines because sometimes guys are not feeling their best. They could be tired. It could be a little ill. So obviously the Pro Day is going to be very important for Joey Bosa. I still see him as a top 10 player. There's some scouts are dropping him now to somewhere between 5 to 7. I'm still holding him at number three to the Chargers. Jalen Ramsey is also going to be a play for the Chargers. They're expected to lose Eric Weddle, and Ramsey is going to be one of those guys that can either play corner or safety, who's extremely athletic. He ran a solid 40 today at 4.46. Did all the drills extremely well. So he definitely looks the part in Jalen Ramsey Hurts. So he'll also be in play for the Chargers there. I currently have him at number 5 to Jacksonville. So just would like to hear what your some of your thoughts on Bosa.
Yeah, the thing about it is I was disappointed in his 40 time, but he plays faster on tape. And I think a little bit of this was, you know, he's a more of an unassuming guy, and I think more of this was more stressful on him than he thought it was going to be. I don't think he drops out of that top 10, but I definitely for sure know he's not going number one overall. And, again, I think Tunsil makes a ton of sense for Tennessee anyway. And I don't know if you saw it, you know, Bosa had a little blow up today on Twitter with some people trolling me.
Yes, I did
going
see
back
that.
Through his thing. Going back through his old tweets from, like, years ago, and, you know, he told him, you know, I'm going to be somewhere playing. You're still going to be trying to get out of your college, you know, debt and all this and the other. And was like, come on, Joy, you know. You can't do that because, you remember, he got suspended for the first game against Virginia Tech, and I'm pretty sure it was for weed. So when you do that on top of a poor 40 showing and then the Twitter rant, I think he's costing himself some money right now. I was a little taken aback by Braxton Miller because – I think he runs a much faster 40 than the 4.5. I was shocked that he ran a 4.5. I thought he would run closer to a 4.4. And when I was watching the coverage on NFL Network, he just is not a natural ball catcher. If you watch him, you know, it looks like he's fighting the ball. He's still trying to figure out which hand is supposed to be where. But he's just so dynamic in space that I think he still goes in the top two rounds. But I think his shot at being a first-round pick is now over. He lost that momentum coming out of the Senior Bowl. And staying with the wide receivers, that was the slowest 40 time for the wide receivers since 2011. And that just totally shocked me. Even with Fuller running that, I think Fuller ran a 4.4 something out of Notre Dame. Even with that run, they still had the slowest class time since 2011. So that's going to give the wide receiver group a bit of a hit. But what I thought about the defensive line, and the defensive period, I think it's going to be a very defensive-heavy draft early on because I think there's the ones that are coming out and shining. We talked about rankings already, and then you forget that Jalen Smith wouldn't hurt. He was going to go top 10 easily, I believe. So I was really impressed with the defense, not so much impressed with the offense, but I also saw some of those passes that Carson Wentz was ripping off, and, I mean, you could just hear it. It was just popping, and he was really hitting guys coming out of the break, and these are receivers he hasn't really worked with. So that's my 2 cents on it, you know. Yay for the defense and so-so on the offense. But I think we found out what we knew about the quarterbacks. I didn't really like what Dak did. He didn't look that impressive to me as well.
You mentioned the defense. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned the defense in this draft. Defensive tackles, you're going to find guys in the third and fourth round with first and second round grades in this draft. Defensive tackle position is loaded in this draft. You can get great value at a defensive tackle position in the third, fourth round in this draft. Also, the corner position is going to be extremely deep as well. You'll get good value in the middle rounds at the corner position as well if you don't get them in the first couple of rounds. So there's a lot of value. In my opinion, those are the two deepest positions in the draft. You mentioned Will Fuller and Braxton Miller. I still have both of those guys going in the second round. The Rams are desperate for wide receiver help. I have Fuller going to the Rams at 43, and I have Braxton Miller being as kind of like a versatile type player for the Colts at 48, and hoping to give Andrew Luck another toy to play with there in Indianapolis.
Mm. That'd be interesting. We got about a minute left, so I don't know if we get through all of it, but if you go ahead and give us real fast the fantasy shout-outs and set us up for the OT portion.
Fantasy shout-outs, fantasy basketball players, thanks for continuing to compete. Shout-out of the week is the Blue Devils All-Stars with an 8-0 victory. That's Sean from the Atlanta area with an 8-0 victory over the champs is here. Yours truly still holding down first place overall in the league. Still a lot of basketball yet to be played, so we'll continue to have some fun with that. Next week, gentlemen, we want to do Monday night again?
Sure.
Works for me.
All right. Monday night on next week, we'll be back on the air. I believe that is March 7th, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends in California. San Francisco, I'll be in your area tomorrow trying to figure out what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. Is he going to be a 49er or is he going somewhere else? I'll be heading your way to find out. And we still have our OT portion. We still may be talking a little bit more draft talk. There's still a lot more to talk about here regarding the combine coverage and the draft. So we may be still with that for a little while. So definitely tune into the same link on tomorrow. We may sneak in a little NBA, a little college hoops, and Major League Baseball. Good night, people. Make sure you tune in to this link. Catch us on the OT Porsche.
Talk to him, Dre.
Stay classy.
San Diego.
There it is. Go Dodgers. I didn't have anything else left to throw on the combine coverage. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on there, Rob? Because I wanted to talk a little NBA, given what we saw on Saturday night, because that was just amazing.
I'll just go over a few more notes from the combine real quick. I'll just kind of go through this real fast. Some players to watch. Emmanuel Ogbah, defensive end from Oklahoma State. He was one of those guys that some scouts were still wanting some more information on. Did very well at the combine at his size, ran a 4.63. I had him going to the top of the second round. He's one of those guys that possibly still sneak into the first round. Shaq Lawson, I think, did very well for his size, too, ran about a 4.7. I think he's very comparable to a Cameron Jordan of the Saints. He's one of those guys that can play the run and rush the passer for a size. So there are some scouts who are dropping him to the second round. I still have a first-round grade on him somewhere in the 20s. Right now I have him going, I believe, 23 overall. So I still think, yeah, I have him going 23 to Minnesota. So I still think he's still a first-round player. Vernon Hargreaves, his 40 time, 4.43. I think he ran a 4.5 as well. Still a very good football player. I still think he's a top 10 pick in this draft. And another guy you probably know, quite familiar with, JQ, Eli Apple, did very well today as well, 4.42. I still have him in the first round as well. A couple of guys that I think could be risers in his draft at the corner position, Jonathan Jones from Auburn, and also Cyrus Jones from Alabama. Cyrus Jones, very well coached, very good technician, technique player. Nick Saban is very hands-on with defensive backs, and you can tell I think he's going to be a solid pro. And another guy we hadn't really talked about a lot who I think did a phenomenal job at the combine is Derrick Henry. He had a 4.54, second-best broad jump at 10 feet, 10 inches, had the fifth-highest vertical at 37 inches. You know, some scouts are still concerned about his change of direction and his lateral agility, and that's why Ezekiel Elliott is still rated higher than him. But you can see a team possibly taking a chance on him in the latter part of the first round. I still have him at like 38 to Jacksonville. I can see him fitting well with a team like Carolina. He's a great downhill runner.
No.
Big back, 6 feet, 2 and 247 pounds. This guy stood next to Mark Ingram and looked twice the size of Mark Ingram.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Darian Thompson, free safety from Boise State. This is a guy didn't run too well in the 40. He had a 4.7, but he's got 19 INTs in his career. He's got great ball skills. I still think he's a solid second-round pick. Linebacker Deion Jones did tremendously in the 40 today, 4.59. I think he'd be a perfect weak-side linebacker in the 4-3 defense, similar to what Quan Alexander did for Tampa Bay last year. I think he could be a solid second- and third-round pick as well. And you guys briefly talked about Darren Lee. I think this guy is the fastest rising player in the draft, period.
Yep.
I think he had a chance to go as high as 8 to Miami. I think the Giants will be in play with him at 10. I think the Saints could be in play with him at 12. And if he's on the board for 17 for Atlanta, you won't see Atlanta trading down. They'll stay right there and pick Darren Lee. I can promise you that. So he's one of the fastest rising guys. The guy, the more I watch him on film, he just does not make bad decisions on the football field. Great sideline player. I think another guy would be a great weak side linebacker in a 4-3 defense. Another guy that's climbing in the draft is Kamali Kariya, outside linebacker, defensive end from Boise State. I think he's a solid second rounder. He's probably moved up from the fourth round. And also William Jackson, cornerback from Houston, 6'1", great size. Could probably be an all-pro free safety at the next level as well. And JQ already talked about Jalen Smith. This is a sad story here. Could really hurt his draft stock. This is a guy that could have been 1-2 in the draft. And Cardell Jones, Ohio State guy. A lot of scouts were disappointed. Obviously, he got hurt running the 40. They were really interested in to see his arm strength. and they didn't get an opportunity to see that yet. So hopefully he'll be recovered in time to show some of that by his pro day. Another guy, Mackenzie Alexander, was somewhat disappointing, a corner from Clemson. Here's a guy as a two-year starter at Clemson, extremely good cover corner, but he had zero INTs. They were hoping to see he had some really good ball skills. He didn't really show that, and so that could hurt him a little bit. So we'll see how he does in his pro day. And so those are just a long list of notes I had from the combine.
Yeah, Mel Kiper third.
that's a long list. Hey,
better than Mel Kiper.
Really quickly. really quickly regarding just, the wide receivers. I know you made a comment about that earlier, JQ, about how slow they were. I will say this, and I know we're in a different time, but they were saying that Jerry Rice didn't really go faster than, I think, like a 4.5 or something. He wasn't that fast.
He was going that, yeah.
And yet and still, he was faster in pads. And I know we talk about, you know, the combine is just kind of an assessment thing too. So something to keep in mind too. There are some players that I think that are faster than their times are saying too. So, you know, obviously you can train and get faster in that particular instance too. But something to keep in mind. So there's a little glint. You know, there's some guys that are burning it up, and then, you know, they're actually slower and or faster too. Because, I mean, you know, Emmett didn't run a great time too, but he was always outrunning people. So that just kind of shows you that, you know, take it with a grain of salt, in other words. I'm done.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that, and I totally agree. It was just the fact that it was just shocking to me that, you know, when you're watching and you're expecting more of them to run faster than that, and then as a group to form this to be that slow. But, yeah, you know, and I wish they were actually at least let them wear thigh pads or something, or shoulder pads, so you get a truer sense of what they'll be doing when they get in the game. But, yeah, I totally agree. And so you can't put all your – and we talked about it last week. You can't put all your eggs into the 40 basket. You also got to see how they play on tape. Don't let your eyes deceive you when you watch game film.
Mm-hmm.
You stole one from me. Yeah, your boy from LSU, Jones, has been rising pretty fast. I was hoping he was going to stay down there so the Bengals could maybe snag him in that second or third round, but I don't think that's going to happen. But also, I just thought about it, Clint Bowlin and Sean Williams are the other Georgia players on the roster for the Bengals. So that Floyd take makes a lot of sense. He reminds me a lot of Carlos Dunlap as well, who's playing a pretty good defensive end for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play defensive end, but he may be that outside linebacker that's got to get faster at and put Vontaze in the middle if he can keep his head on straight. All right, because I want to get to this because I was out playing poker with some fellas, and we pretty much just had to pause the game during that Thunder Golden State game on Saturday. And, of course, I was playing Saints Pelicans, who has Curry, and I think he scored like 200 points this week against me and made like 33-pointers. Or just something ridiculously outlandish. I'm like, really, really, Curry, we're going to do that this week when you play at me? But I just want to get your thoughts on it.
I think you've been doing it every week, be honest with you, bro.
yeah, man, but it feels so much personal what is happening to you. I just want to get your thoughts on it there, Dre. I mean, because this week we had, you know, it just seems like we have all these older guys come out of the woodwork saying, back in my day, you know, get off the lawn and, you know, I hit him with a forearm shiver and I would take him, I'd pick him up full court and this, that, and the other. I mean, and then you have crazy in New York, Phil Jackson say, you know, it's, you know, Sharif, not Sharif Abdul-Rahim, but you know what I'm talking about. He compared him to on Twitter, which was just outlandish. I don't know if we've seen really anybody like him. I mean, you got to pick him up in the backcourt. I mean, he's throwing in 30-foot three-pointers like, you know, the free throws.
Yeah, I will say this. I kind of sort of agree with Oscar as far as one point, as far as the way that it's a different defensive game back then because you were more physical. There was more hand-checking. But I still think Steph would have been just as good because it's hard to defend a great shooter. So I think Steph would have been a great shooter. I do think a little bit more tougher. I know Rob mentioned this last week as far as being more physical with Steph Curry. And you know, that's what obviously your boy Dellavedova tried to do in the playoffs, and Steph still got off. But, you know, it is a different game. I know that, you know, certain players that lasted in kind of that mid-90s era, they're not the same players now because you don't see like a Charles Oakley type of player nowadays because he wasn't scoring like 20 points a game. He was just there just to be a physical presence, you know, like the Rick McHorns. There's certain players there that their role was just to be an intimidating person, you know. So, you know they're going to get some rebounds. They don't really care about scoring. And so Steph Curry wouldn't be going down the lane at all. You know what I'm saying? They would let him know, you know, it's just that mental, physical game. So I agree with Oscar in that point in that it is different. But Steph is such a good shooter, I think those will cancel each other out, you know, sort of in that instance. So, I mean, he can still shoot and get his points. Maybe not as much, but that's just kind of my two cents on that.
What you think about it, Rob?
Well, I agree with what Steph Curry said. I think it's time for some of the greats from the past to just stop criticizing his Warriors team or stop trying to make analogies. I'm not a huge Golden State Warriors fan. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. So, I'm not trying to create any enemies. But I also realize you have to give credit where credit is due. And this guy's got to be the greatest shooter in NBA history. When you look at the stats, you're talking about a point guard here shooting like 51, 52% from the field. He's shooting 48% behind the three-point line. And as JQ mentioned, a lot of these three-pointers are 30-footers. These are not 23-footers he's hitting.
Yeah.
And he gets a shot off over anybody. I've seen him go against the Pelicans where he's shooting over Anthony Davis with ease. And I'm just blown away by how easy he gets his shot off. Now, Dellavedova did have some success against him against the finals. If you recall, Curry didn't go off in the finals. Iguodala was MVP of the NBA finals. I think a lot of people forget that. And so he did a very good job being physical with them. And so I don't know if that's going to be the blueprint. Obviously, the last time the Warriors played the Cavs, I mean, it was an annihilation. Yeah, but you have to give credit. This guy is has a heart of an assassin. He's cold blooded, and he's
cold-blooded.
Rick James, baby. I think it's time you have to give credit where credit is due. He's definitely the best shooter I think of all time, and he's definitely the best player in the NBA on the best team right now as well. And that was an incredible shot he hit that night to win that game.
Yeah, and my last two cents on it is that if you're going to pick him up full court, you keep forgetting about how ridiculous this dude's handles are. If you pick him up full court and you overpressing and he goes by you, he might not have to go all the way down the lane. He can still get that mid-range shot off and destroy you that way too. So when you say I'm going to be physical and pick him up full court, yeah, you're going to wear yourself out two for one, and he's going to go by you a good number of times because the dude has crazy handles. He's not just a shooter. He's got really good handles. So that's where people get, you know, sensitive about trying to do that because he can go by you. So, yeah, I would say with this, you know, always being better in my day talk, let's just let that go. I don't want the blog talk lady to come cut us off. So just real fast, in a word or two, I'll start with you, Rob. Do you think there's any concern about the Cavs, what they have happening right now?
I think you have to be a little concerned about the Cavs. I think LeBron James, in my opinion, has an incredible bad luck with putting together these rosters. He goes to Miami, Dwayne Wade ages. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. You would think when he sits out a game, you still got two superstars on your team that can still carry the team. Not so. I mean, those guys are still developing players. And you saw how valuable LeBron James is with that team. When LeBron James goes out of the game for the Cleveland Cavaliers, they are minus 14 for the season on average. Mm. And so that's why some GMs in the league still think LeBron James is the most valuable player in the league because of that. And you saw a lot of that with the Wizards on yesterday. They're minus 14 when he's not in the game for the season. That's incredible. And those guys just don't have it without him. And I still think they'll win the East, but I don't think they can beat the Warriors or the Spurs.
Well, Dre, go ahead. Give me your thoughts and close this out, bro.
I agree with what Rob said. That's all I got to say. So, good call. I'll let you finish, JQ. You did a good job, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody for sticking with us through the
great
OT.
Job.
Well, you're not going to stay with us, but, you know, download it and you'll hear us talk about this. And like Rob said, we'll get to some more baseball here and stay with the combine and any draft coverage that we get, because I'm sure we'll get some signings and some trades that we're definitely going to have to talk about. appreciate you as always, fellas. Always a good time. The fastest 45 minutes of my week, for sure. So talk to you later. I'm sure I'll be texting with you.